Michael's prayer was interesting to me in that I think that the word that I'm bringing tonight is really related to cutting through a lot of things, and maybe even I think I was wondering about why I'm bringing this word. I asked the Lord, but He didn't really tell me a whole bunch. But the sense that He wants to do that, and so we're gonna do it. But as we're worshiping, and some of the things that I was seeing, I realized that He's trying to give us a key. He's trying to give us a key to some kind of vitality and strength and security and constancy and keeping a hold of Him and pursuing the things that He gives us. So now you wonder what the word is, right? Well, if we take this one seriously, we'll have to do some of that, I think. I want to look with you at something that the Lord said to Ezekiel in chapter 3. And He actually said it pretty forcefully in terms of it being a very imperative kind of statement. It's chapter 3 and verse 10. I'll read it to you, and then he's sending Ezekiel to talk to Israel at a time when they are not listening, definitely not listening, and they're not going to be listening for a while. But he says in verse 9, like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Not paying any attention to him. Nevertheless, the Lord is sending him to speak with them. Then verse 10 says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. That's the verse I want to look at with you tonight, because I think in that the Lord is giving Ezekiel a very strong key to how he's going to get through this. Do you ever feel like you're in the midst of a lot of things that don't agree with the Lord and don't agree with you? But they exercise a fair amount of authority? What do we do? What do we do in that situation? Well, he's telling him here, receive all my words into your heart. Receive means to take. It means take hold of. It's an imperative. It's in the imperative, so it's a command. Receive this, So it's very strong. It means to take hold of. Has a meaning of accept. Sometimes the Lord says some things, and we. Have you ever had it bump into an argument in you? Mm-hmm. Well, we can argue, I guess, but we want to end up at a point of accepting and taking it in, receiving it in. It also has a meaning of carry away. We get a hold of this thing and carry it away with us. And it has a meaning of to use. Get a hold of it, carry it with you, and use it. So it's an intense statement here. Okay, Ezekiel, you're surrounded. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to receive my words into your heart. We've talked a lot about heart in this one accord time, because it's about uniting our whole heart, both within us and with the Lord, and therefore the possibility of being kind of in one accord together. But I looked this up again in one of the Old Testament word studies that I use. William Wilson is the guy that wrote this particular one. And this is what he says. The heart is the seat of feeling and affections, but the Hebrews regard it more generally as likewise the seat of intellect. It's having to do with mind and purpose. Secondly, of understanding or insight. Third, courage and spirit. So if we take that definition and apply this, receive into your heart, receive into your feelings, into your affections, receive into your mind and your purpose, receive into your understanding, receive into your courage and your spirit, is what it's saying here. Take a hold of it in all those places, get it all the way in, so it's firing up all of that part of your heart. Receive into your heart in that way all the words I speak to you. All the words. We'd be busy, huh? This word for speak is the same word that is used in Exodus, where he describes the building of the tabernacle and the mercy seat and the cherubim and the wings over the mercy seat. And when he talks about the mercy seat, he says, "There I will meet with you and speak with you," or commune with you. This same word has a lot of meanings: to say, to tell, to promise, to command, to bid, to teach, to declare. But the primary meaning is to put forth in order. Receive into your heart all the words that I speak to you. The implication being that it will put things in order. They will put things in order. All the words I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Hear is also imperative, a command. It's a very intense statement here, isn't it? You know, that's how important the Lord thinks His Word is, and probably knows very well that it is what is going to equip us to get through everything that we need to get through. Because if we don't receive those words into our heart, what is in there? Our own and everybody else's. And how do they work? Great, great, huh? He's giving us a profound key here in about two sentences. Actually, the way King James is one. You know, it just goes on and on. But okay, I think that's what he is saying to us too. Receive into your heart all the words that he speaks to us, and hear them. Well, what happens instead of that? I think we can say that there are one or two areas in our life that the words of the Lord are not overruling yet. Yeah? It's actually difficult to receive those words all the way in like that, isn't it? We hear them, we say, "Well, yeah, oh, that's interesting," or "I wonder if that's the Lord," or, you know, "Maybe that's me," or he talks about this in the New Testament, this process of his word hitting and what becomes of it. Let's look at Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower. I'm just gonna read the and look at the part that Jesus explains, which is starts at verse 19. He says that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles or is offended. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I want to look at these four things that he talks about, because I think indeed they bear a great deal on what happens to the words that the Lord sends instead of us receiving them all the way in. And you know, the part of Sable's talk this morning that was about fighting for faith and focus and joy and who we are in the Lord, you know, fight the good fight, you know, and it is a fight, you know, life with the Lord, life period is a fight, but it depends on what you win. So I want to look at these four things. The first one has to do with the enemy trying to snatch the word of God, which happens very, very quickly, usually. And Pastor Ted mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, too, I think on Sunday morning, you know, about one of the things that often happened, and has happened throughout history and started in the garden, is the question begins to hit right away, did God say? Did he really send that word? Is that God? Is that my imagination? Is that him? Is that... You know, honestly, when that settles in, when that suggestion settles in, we stop receiving, for the most part. It ends in a question or confusion, or I don't know the answer to that, and it sometimes stops right there. Doesn't get any farther than that. I've talked to people who heard something from the Lord. That question came up. That may have happened 20 years ago, and it hasn't been received yet. Because it effectively interrupts the interaction with the Lord. Anything that effectively interrupts that interaction means we're not going to keep receiving with the intensity and the depth and the influence that he intends those words to have in us, you know. The second thing that he refers to is a stony place. You ever seen some of these plants that grow out of? They seem like they're growing out of rock or whatever. In the backyard I had up in Orange County, there was a kind of a fireplace barbecue thing built in brick, and there were these little purple violets coming right out of the side of the rock. There was a little bit of dirt there, but not much, you know. And it looked really cool, but I don't know how far they're going to get, you know, with. That's the kind of thing that he's talking about here. There's an immediate joy that hits, but when there's a pressing, when a trying, or persecution, or whatever, it says that arises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles, or it says is offended. You know, I was reflecting on this a bit, because it says the reason that the stumbling happens is that there's no root. There's not. He has no root in himself. I was looking at the scripture in Ephesians that talks about being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in the Lord's love. Unless some of that has gone on, it's not too hard to offend us. See, if we're not rooted in His love, we're not secure in that. We're not certain of who we are because of it. We're not solidly connected with Him. It's not that hard to offend us. You know, Have you noticed that? There are certain areas of our life that haven't quite been retrieved, and you can hit us there pretty good, and we'll react and get offended. And again, that's all it takes. We start saying, well, this is not even valid. This is not working. This hasn't changed everything. This is, and it's over. You know, the receiving has stopped again. The third thing that he says is has to do with the word of the kingdom falls among thorns. And that has to do with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. When I was thinking about this cares of the world, I was reminded of... turn over to Luke 14 with me. I was reminded of this parable that that Jesus talks to them about. 14 and verse 16. Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, get this one, with one accord, began to make excuses. What are we going to have one accord over? Receiving all the way into our heart or making excuses? I'll tell you which is easiest. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Cares of the world, which actually end up, if we regard them more strongly than what God calls us into or moves us toward, interrupting the receiving again. So the cares of the world can do that, and it says the deceitfulness of riches can do that. I think we can... Some of us wish we could relate to that more, you know, that we struggled with too many riches. But in Psalm 62, verse 10 says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. That's the problem, isn't it? That we shift our heart over to what can happen. You know, I see this sometimes. When things are... get a little more plentiful or whatever, I find myself thinking, oh, wow, okay, Lord, we could do this, I could do this, then I could do this, well, then we could do this. And, you know, hopefully I get to the place of saying, what do you want to do here? What is this for, you know? So I don't get too lost down that trail. But. And the fourth is... the one who hears and understands, and my sense here is there's some persevering in that, and it produces fruit of various quantities. So My point in this, I think, I think the Lord wants us to hear this Ezekiel 3:10 scripture. But then I think we could help each other by looking at how to receive those words all the way into our heart and let them take over and literally drive out some other things. You know, because otherwise they're going to contend with the other things. And... really, when you think about it, what that we have received from anywhere else is equivalent to what the Lord is saying. you know, he is Lord, and he really does get to overrule some of the other messages, right? That in fact, I would say is our hope, that God has the authority and power and truth and light to overrule some of the other messages. Otherwise, we persist under them for quite a long time and lose our lives to some degree or other. So, we're talking about receiving the words that the Lord says to us, all of them, receiving them very, very deeply and intently, and want to talk some about how to do that. I can say some things about that, Michael, but I think you wanted to too, did you? We were talking about this a couple weeks ago a little bit.
You want to say some things and I can say some things?
Yeah. Let me, I'm just going to say something generally, just in terms of my own process in this. I'll just like a little testimony of both the wrestlings and the getting a hold of it. But I think Michael will probably say something generally about what we need to do with the Word of the Lord. You know, when I have a pretty regular time with the Lord, and very often he speaks some things to my heart. I have a journal with me most all of the time when I am praying. I have something that I can write on, or now I actually use a laptop, and so it is trapped and I can transmit it and whatnot, you know. But I find that when I write it down, I begin to hear a little bit. But I also realize I'm not really getting it. I get the top part. I get a sense of it. I have kind of a general understanding. It begins to hit some things. You know, usually the Word of the Lord is such that it hits us. And if we don't get up and go get another cup of tea or do something else, or I got to go now, Lord, or get in the shower or whatever, it probably will keep doing that. It will keep hitting. It will keep pressing through, you know. So I think that there is a little bit of a struggle to stay with it long enough for it to really break through. I find that, but I also find that when I stay with it and it does, you can practically feel the lifting and the liberating go on. You can feel some of the replacing and the pushing out and kind of old concepts and stuff giving way to like fresh air, you know. However, then I go out from my sanctuary into my life and whatever I'm doing that day. And the cares of the world become very evident and very active. And by the end of the day, when I sit down, sometimes I can't remember what I was working on that morning. I can't remember what the Lord said. I look in my journal, I say, oh my word. Lord, I need to get a hold of that. That needs to be established in my life. I have got to have that, you know. So I have to look at it over and over again. The ones that are really important, see, those are the ones that I realize that I need. They are all important. But sometimes I realize that, man, I have got to have this. So I look at it several days in a row. Lord, where am I with this? How is the establishing going? Where am I with this? Are we making any progress? Am I losing the trail? What, you know? And the other thing I would say is that some words I have files around, and now many of them on the computer, but of words over the years. And I also find that the Lord keeps working that. And there are things that I have either heard or have been sent to me maybe 10 years ago that I feel like I'm kind of getting it now. Because that is the reality. The Lord can say so much more than we can understand, you know. He can send and break through with so much more than we can get. We're going to have to keep revisiting it, because the receiving requires that. You know, I don't experience that I can receive all the way into my heart at all those levels he's talking about the moment I hear it. I hope you can, but I'm just telling you, that's what it looks like for me. Okay.